Doors closing. This is Chicago and State.
Cheeseburger, 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 top of the world.
Okay, welcome to Nocturnal Journal Podcast, and we're here with our friends from the Community TV Network, Denise Sicardi, Executive Director.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Denise?
Good.
And we have alumni Aaron Bradshaw.
Hi.
Hi, and D'Angelo Smith.
How you doing?
Okay, so tell us what Community TV Network is.
We are a nonprofit organization, and we teach young people in Chicago in many, many neighborhoods, usually about 15 neighborhoods a year. Students learn how to make videos, how to make digital video productions. And that's pretty much what we do. We teach the kids the technical part and all of the thinking part, and they actually finish videos.
And it's been around since 1974.
Yes.
And you're having a fundraiser on October 20th.
We are. And it's the 30th anniversary of our cable show. So when cable TV started in Chicago, the summer of 86, we said, let's have a youth show.
And that's hardcover.
Hardcover. Voices and Visions of Chicago's Youth.
And so the fundraiser, the event is October 20th at 6 to 8:30 at CANTV, CANTV.
Mm-hmm.
13. Oh, I've been over there with Jake Austin's show. 1309 South Wood.
Yes.
So tell us what will happen there.
At the event, we're going to have an MC, Mary Mitchell from the Sun-Times.
Oh, I know Mary.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we will have, with your ticket that costs $30 donation, you will have free food and drink. And we'll have an award ceremony and a short little show, a segment from Hardcover. We'll also be screening clips from many years, and we'll have displays of some of our artifacts and our awards that we've won. So it's just be a little celebration. 30 years. Yeah.
In doing my research and reading the background, I'm not that familiar with the group, but it was the first organization in Chicago to offer young people a platform to tell their own stories. Can you all elaborate on that? Say who you are.
Yeah. This is Aaron, and what I would like to say about like CTVN and how they teach the youth to like have their own voice and stuff. Like what we basically do is we take something that the youth are going through, take anything from their lives or their schools or whatever, and what's going on with them, and let them tell their story, let them speak out and have their voice, and you know, make meaning out of it.
And you went to Clemente?
Yeah.
And what years were you at Clemente? You guys both went to Clemente, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I was there, 2008, 2009 to 2013, something like that, 14, something like
I'm D'Angelo Smith.
Yeah.
And I was at Clemente from 2010 to 2014, proud graduate, now attending Columbia College.
So tell us how the process works, you guys. How do you find a story? I mean, how does it get from an idea into?
First we brainstorm with our instructors,
you know, and we spitball ideas. Some gets picked, some gets shot down.
Well, how does that work? How do you know when you got something working?
Well,
how does something get shot down?
Well, we be in the group, in our old group, and we try and we spit about something that we think is something important to talk about. Everyone should agree. There are some that agree, some that doesn't. That always happens in group discussions, and then the final decision comes to our director, our instructor, to pretty much make the final decision, say, okay, that's a golden idea, go for it, or that idea is, I'm going to be terrible, forget it, move on to another one.
So, in a sense, like, with terrible ideas, it's more or less like, there are no terrible ideas, but if there's something that seems like we wouldn't be able to get it done within the amount of time that we have, or, you know, it's a lot of work that would go into a certain project more than another, then usually we'll save that for the summer program, but the shorter programs, which are over like the fall and winter, will do like, you know, the smaller stuff, and then the big stuff comes in the summer.
Give us an example of one that worked. D'Angelo, tell us about the Lathrop Holmes documentary.
Okay. With Lathrop Holmes, it's a pretty much a small but very rich community. It is being shut down, and everyone is being forced from their homes that they grew up in and having to move, say, like to the south side. And I've interviewed some of the youth there, and they're not very happy about losing their places where they know, like, the back of their hands. And they don't like to move to the south side. They like it where they know the people, different, all the same faces, the same places.
And tell the listeners where Lathrop Holmes is right now.
Diversity and Damon.
Yeah. It's on Lathrop Holmes, Diversity and Damon.
Yeah. So, what are the advantages when you're doing like peer media? I mean, when you're talking to peers as opposed to some guy from a network out in a suit and ties.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Working with peers, it's challenging, but at the same time, it's rewarding because, like you said, you try to spitball your ideas with your peers, and some of them don't like it, but some of them do. But then along the line, be it short or a very long line, you find common ground on something that you're discussing, and then you just start making the plans for the movie, for the video.
Mm-hmm. Same question there.
Yeah. Working with peers, like, I feel like is definitely a difficult process, but usually, like, you know, you just work together, you suck it up, you do what you gotta do, and you get the work done. And it's like, you know, it's different talking to other people, like, even talking right now, being interviewed. I've never been on the other side of an interview too much, so it's like I'm usually doing the interview.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so
it's... This is only my second radio interview, and it's so exciting, so blood pumping. That's the only words I can use.
Yeah. Were you guys born and raised was it Wicker Park? Where
I used to be more on the west side, towards, what was that? I think like Roosevelt, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I came to Wicker Park when I was younger and stuff because it was getting really bad in my neighborhood. And I also spent some time in Humble Park and, you know, back and forth between both neighborhoods, basically.
And with me, I was born and raised in Chicago on the west side. Still live over there. I used to live on Augusta Boulevard, but we moved because that neighborhood was getting terrible by the day. So we decided to move, and now we currently live on... more in the west side.
Tell us about Peace in the Streets. You worked on that.
So, Peace in the Streets, like, I believe it was our project with like Pilsen in that neighborhood, and basically we talked to them and we learned about the programs that they have over there, who ran the programs and stuff, and we talked to people in charge over there and how they do this basketball thing as well, like a basketball tournament, like, and how they were trying to get rid of violence in their neighborhood themselves. So, you know, in a peaceful way, peace in the street.
And when did you do that?
This was, I think, about maybe 3 years ago, like that. It was a while back. It was definitely a while back. So we worked with them on that for a long while and came up with a bunch of ideas, and we like filmed it, and it was great.
And how old are you guys now, Aaron?
I'm 21.
Taryn?
I'm 21.
21. Can you just give me, I mean, you're on the front line, and you live there, and you've been working there. Give me your assessments of the neighborhoods you cover. And the organization goes into 15 different neighborhoods?
Right. We have classes in school. After school, summer, special projects, a lot of different neighborhoods where kids are telling their stories, choosing their own topics. The other thing is that we, from the beginning, have looked for solutions. So the idea of you pick a story, you write it, you do your treatment, your storyboard, you edit, you work as a team, and you have, so much product coming out. And then we have kids who are hired after school. We've always had kids who are hired, and they collect all of the content. And they put a show together by theme or just by what's coming in. And so all the way along, it's creative, but it's about who you are. It's not like the teacher says, we're talking about red balls today or blue kites. It's really what are the issues? What's going on in your neighborhood? What is, going on in the city? And, if you look at the topics, I just pulled out random 1998. We covered a police brutality rally. There was a Girls' Day of Action. So sometimes we hear about something that's about the community issue or about the kids, but we also celebrate. I think we've had, dancers and singers and plays, but really about our young people. And you think, what media outlet in Chicago has been so focused on both training kids and producing and sending it out, and our show has always gone to some other cities. And we have sent it to Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which has a 24-hour youth channel. We've sent it to St. Paul. We have an audience in Philadelphia. And this is before the internet. So now we can, now it's, you send it out. But we did have a regular time slot in other cities as well.
Let me ask you this as you bring that up. For all three of you, as you send it out to other parts of the country, how do people perceive Chicago, especially stuff like Chirac and some of the national news at Chirac?
We don't get much feedback once in a while. Somebody will call or email us. No, we don't get much feedback at this point. We got a lot of feedback about our tape about John Birch, but that was promoted in a different way.
What was that?
Well, that was more of a professional project that we did, and it was on national television. And it was about organizing to stop police brutality. But we did get a lot of feedback about that, but it had a lot of press. So that was a special, not a regular thing.
Yeah. Same question for you guys. Do you have friends in other cities? What's their perception of Chicago?
I have a few friends, some that is new to Chicago and some that I have that's even out of Illinois, and always get inbox questions asking about what is CTVN, what are the videos about, and in short, I tell them to go on our YouTube channel, Community TV Network, and just look at the videos and assess for yourself. Because they heard about all the things that happened in Chicago recently, and honestly, they're scared to even come to Chicago. But I told them to look at our videos and see that the youth, that the Chicago youth has a lot of untapped potential. It has the things we could do with a camera, the things we could do with a sound pole, things we do with even a piece of paper and a pencil, writing the script and everything. So
what's the website? How can people look at this and find this? How can listeners find you guys?
Our website is ctvnetwork.org. Our YouTube channel is Community TV Network.
Denise, now it started in 1974, the whole thing.
Right.
Now,
cable.
Yeah, that's
before cable.
That's a huge question. So I have two things I want to cover. Of course, through technology and stuff, how has the medium changed? What did you start with?
We started with a black and white camera. It was reel-to-reel tape, like the old, same with audio tape, those reels. And, some of our very, very cool videos were made with the black and white. And it was the same thing. We went into neighborhoods, taught students who, learned how to read or write by making the videos. And, the challenge now is the archiving and all of that. But you can imagine the stories out in the neighborhoods that haven't been told and the richness of what we've collected in, all of the places in Stateway Gardens, in Cabrini. I taught in Cabrini. You just imagine everywhere, uptown, west side. So we've got all of this content that is you know, sitting in boxes. But that's how it started, and we just kind of evolve. What's next? What's the next equipment? And it's expensive, and that's why we have fundraisers.
Yeah, how do you get your funding?
We are funded through the National Endowment for the Arts, through some foundations. McCormick Foundation has been very important. They see the value of the work that we do, and then a number of other, you know, changing supporters. But it's pretty grassroots. We're very much, you guys know, you know, we don't buy anything. We don't, you know, everything we try to find donated, and really stick to equipment and our staff. That's really, you know, and our heart is with our students and their success. And how do we tell a story that's really important that nobody else is looking at, you know? And how can we get young people out into the community? So when you do a story like Lathrop Palms or Peace in the Streets, and Peace in the Street was, well, you know, who's trying to stop violence? Who's out there? What are they doing? You know, how do they feel? How can we learn from them? How can we project their message? And, you know, it's a mission, because these are our, you know, fellow students who are getting shot. Yeah. And it's not a happy thing. We had a class in the same school where Laquan McDonald went to school. It's very painful. And a lot of the schools that we've taught in, kids are dying. And, you know, we're on the front lines. Our kids are on the front lines. And we live here. And how do we put our heads together? So that's part of what we try to do, is get kids into the story, try to be creative. I mean, the other thing, and I think Aaron and DJ know this, is that we know if you lecture at teenagers, it's not going to work, right?
Hashtag rebellion.
So the other thing that we've always done is leave it wide open. You know, they get it more than adults do. You know, if you talk about safe sex, if you talk about positive relationships, if you talk about, you know, very important relationship topics or depression or whatever, it can't be a lecture.
Yeah. I want to ask you, I mean, I was in the background, I mean, I think it's really important, again, if we can elaborate on this, be in charge, you touched on it earlier, but be in charge of your own image. What does that mean when you're doing your work for both Aaron and D'Angelo?
Well, I think it's like being in charge of like our own image is like we're trying to like make something that relates to people like in the same general age area as us. Even like I've gone through stuff with like depression. My mom, she has bipolar disorder. Who can relate to this? You know, who would see this and be able to better deal with it and stuff, because I still have troubles till this day dealing with it. But you get to like learn different things and stuff, and you know, you put out this image where you're welcoming, you're trying to better your community and all that stuff. You want to, you know, make something that's like uplifting,
and it's connective, and it's bonding.
Yep. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, same question.
I've tried to put myself into the work I do, into the videos that I help produce. Like, say, a music documentary that I made about a few years ago. The reason I made that is because I love music. I think music can really help, can really change the way people act in this day and age. As I can see, music has a big influence on the young of our generation. And I figured, okay, I could do a music documentary about it. Like, have a few of the youth that I go to school with talk about how does music affects them. Does it really make you? Does it describe who you are? And I feel, and I myself am influenced by the music. I try to be the best I can be. Music makes me be the best I can be every single day, and live life the way I want it. And it's not just I'm not an everyday kind of guy.
We talked about how things were with technology in 1974, but what about the advent of things like iPhone videos and everyone becoming a citizen journalist. You know, people say, people talk about Black Lives Matter, and a lot of this stuff's been going on forever, but people weren't able to to tape it. You know, so how has that affected what you do? And do do you buy into that?
Well, I feel like with different outlets being able to get into media and stuff, you could put something up on Facebook. If a lot of people see that, that's what everybody know now. This is news to them now, you know? And it's I feel like it's much easier to really convey a message, even, because what you see and, you know, how you feel can easily be conveyed through what you're recording right there, what you're showing people through that. Everybody's gonna feel different about it. Some people might feel this way about it. Some people might think it's funny. Some people might think it's all seriousness. But I feel like with the having iPhones now and other stuff, being able to record on the go and stuff, I feel like it's definitely, a benefit to all of us. It can help, really speak a message to people now. Everybody has some way to convey what they've seen today, what they saw today, how they felt today.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. Same question.
Well, because with iPhones, they have pretty much, it's a smaller version of a Sony camera. It's clear, and you can record anything you want, anything that's happening, whether it's someone doing something crazy, someone doing something unnecessary, someone doing something that's inspirational that you think should be broadcast across the whole social media. I think that recording stuff with your phone, I think it's a really amazing thing, because even though they record unnecessary stuff, they also record something, like I said, it's inspirational, that could really speak to our generation and the future generation that is to come.
Denise, same question. I mean, how much of what you're doing now is from the moment like that, and how much of it is?
I think we're evolving. We're turning into a web series this year. We're experimenting with an app, and we have tried Facebook Live. So I think that the one thing that's missing with young people is the education about how to tell a story, because I think it's a lot of confusing messages for young people. You know, and if we teach them how to frame things, how to think through it, it's a lot coming at you, I think. I mean, it's a lot for adults, yeah, but for kids too. It's like, how do you, figure out what's real, what's a lie? How do you deal with negative feedback? How do you, all those things that could be really, scary, I think, for a young person. I remember we did a show on sexting when it first came out. And, everybody, when the pictures first came out on phones, and it was a lot of education and thinking and talking through it. That was, I think, really important for young people. So, yeah, just kind of go with it. Try to understand it, just like before. I mean, we were trying to understand the media before. You know, before all of this, we just continue. It's just faster now, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
It's just,
yeah.
Woo!
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of stuff.
Is that right, 11,000 students?
Yes, 11,500.
Wow.
Just think, 10 at a time. Yeah. 10, 15 at a time. That's a lot.
Here's some stats. I mean, 91.8% of your youth were encouraged to stay in school.
These are from our after-school program, our on-site,
yeah,
after-school program. 81.8%
were encouraged to apply for college. 96.4% more comfortable working with a team and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the audience? I mean, is it other young people? Does it cross over to
what do you think? For our show and for our YouTube channel?
Well,
it's D'Angelo. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Take it away,
D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say that our videos are for all ages, because there are videos on our YouTube channel or on our website that some of the older generation could relate to, like they went through it when they were young, but the thing is they probably didn't have no one to talk to, didn't have no videos to watch. But with this, in this day and age, now that they're, if they're on YouTube, they can see our videos and they're like, and they could be like, okay, so that's how, so they made a video about how, say, I had a horrible childhood, or I had, or I just didn't feel like my life meant anything. But when they see the videos, they connect with it and they feel a sense of relief knowing that our generation could watch the videos and feel better about themselves. Well, not feel better about themselves, more like just connect and know how to deal with stress, burdens, and all the kind of stuff that we go through.
Where do you guys learn about news? Do you watch TV?
Yeah, I grew up on TV.
Mostly, like, mainly we, I think I would say, like, Facebook most definitely does give us a lot of news. Like, you go on there, you going down your news feed, somebody done said something about what's going on.
Bob Dylan stuff was big today. Yeah.
You know, I definitely like to watch the news too, but it's it's split up here and there, but you know, watching like the debate, the election, everything like that, like, you know, stuff like that. I feel like we get media from almost everywhere, every outlet. You cop online and see what's going on today, anything. So
tell us about the event again on the 20th.
It's at 6:00 at CAN TV. We're celebrating 30 years of our hardcover Voices and Visions of Chicago's Youth, our cable TV show. Big celebration, $30. Lots of food and drinks, and it's a party. Come celebrate, join us. It's fun.
Aaron and Danzel, will you guys be there?
Yes,
I will most definitely be there.
You'll be there. What are you guys doing now?
Well,
D'Angelo?
Yep. Well, I am currently attending Columbia College, studying theater acting, and plan to study abroad in the near future.
Okay.
I'm trying to get more into film. I've been talking to Denise about doing more and, you know, trying to start some projects on my own. I'm also trying to work in construction and stuff like that, take a trade.
Okay. And how many overall kids are, like, currently involved? Like, you know.
Any one semester?
Yeah, right.
About 200 or 300.
That many?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have programs at Sullivan House, which is at 90th. This summer we had a program at Julian High School. We have a high school in Logan Square. We have, I'm trying to think of all, we're in a bunch of alternative schools. We partner with public schools for short-term projects.
And how do kids find you?
They can go, the easiest way is to go to the After School Matters website and look for digital video production. And we apply to have programs in different schools. So, mm-hmm.
Well, very good. 40 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So we're going to close it out. We've been talking about music. And when you actually talked about Cabrini Green, I'd like to play some Curtis Mayfield raised in Cabrini Green. So thank you guys so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. Anytime. Bye.
Some people think we don't have the right to say it's my country. Before they give in,
they'd rather fuss and fight
than say it's my country. I paid 300 years or more of slave driving sweat and welts on my back. This is my country. Do-do-do.